We are so happy you've joined us today on the Living Scriptures. I think this is what, episode 11. So if it's your first time, I am Sandra Hicks. I'm the founder of Heartstone Network. And you are?
My name is Cindy Hayes. And my husband and I have a ministry called Free Indeed Ministry that helps the sexually broken.
And you are?
My name is Darla Ryden, and I have a ministry called When Kings Speak.
Love the name.
I do too.
I'm telling you. Well, we have been talking about Ephesians for the last few episodes.
Yes, we have.
And we're continuing in that today. I do want to just mention that we have a new podcast at Heartstone Network, a new show called Garden for Life, hosted by Farmer Fred Billings, where he teaches you how to grow food. He's talking to churches about how to grow their own food pantry and what we can do with food deserts in our country. Fred and I are working together on a video project called Garden for Life, where we are teaching people through video how to grow food, and it's going all over the world to mostly third world countries, and we're seeing results in, of all places, refugee camps in Africa. So we're very excited about that. But growing food is something that needs to happen all over the whole world. So Fred's a great guy, and he will not only teach you how to grow food, he'll show you how to see the invisible attributes of God in the garden. Anyway, he's got a great show for you, so I hope you'll check it out.
It's, I have a question.
Yes.
What is a food desert?
Oh, what's a food desert? A food desert is where in a neighborhood there's no grocery store, like within, several miles, 10 miles or something. Especially like, you know, in poverty areas, you know, the nice grocery stores don't want to go. And so all the roads will be, you know, stop and goes kind of things. Mm-hmm. And where they just have expensive canned food. They can't find fresh food. And also it's hard sometimes for seniors to get out. That's called a food desert. And unfortunately, we live in the state of Texas, unfortunately has one of the worst or the most number of food deserts. It could be because we're a bigger state, but we have a lot of food deserts.
Wow. I wouldn't
have known that. You know, getting fresh food to people. So it makes it hard to be healthy when all you've got is like mac and cheese, because the cheap food that people can afford is the starchy, unhealthy food. So, you know,
cause them to be malnourished.
That's right. So we want to see churches use a lot of that property, because a lot of time churches have
property.
Yeah, we've seen some churches turn that into gardens, and they're able to give hundreds and hundreds of pounds of food away every week, and it's fresh food. So it's an awesome outreach, and it's something, you know, I think churches ought to be doing if at all they can. But anyway, we're going to pick up where we left off. It's Ephesians. Now remember, girls eat potato chips, right, Cindy?
Galatians, Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians.
Yeah. All right. So right after Galatians, we're going to come to Ephesians. So pick it up, Cindy. I think, is it verse 7?
I'll start in verse 7. Mm-hmm. I'm reading from the Everyday Bible. By God's special gift of grace given to me through his power, I became a servant to tell that good news. And that's Paul who's talking, saying this. I am the least important of all God's people. But God gave me this gift to tell those who are not Jews the good news about the riches of Christ, which are too great to understand fully. And God gave me the work of telling all people about the plan for his secret, which has been hidden in him since the beginning of time. He is the one who created everything. His purpose was that through the church, all the rulers and powers in the heavenly world will now know God's wisdom, which has so many forms. This agrees with the purpose God has had since the beginning of time, and he carried out his plan through Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Christ, we can come before God with freedom and without fear. We can do this through faith in Christ. So I ask you not to become discouraged because of the sufferings I am having for you. My sufferings are for your glory.
Wow. Okay. I know you're chomping at it. Go for it, darling.
I'm just thinking, wow, that last statement. Therefore, I say to you to not lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory.
Mm-hmm. So why is it his suffering on their behalf?
Because we kind of stated this a little bit last time.
Is he in prison because he's gone to prison?
But not quite yet, but. He might have been on writing this. Not sure about that one. But I know previously to this, when he was given this revelation and this mystery, He had to endure beating. He had to endure quite a different thing. And, you know, what's so interesting, and I see it in a different way with you, Sandra. No, you're not being beat to death and things like this. But instead of him, you would think that you're going to these different cities trying to give the revelation of who Jesus is and what he has done and giving that. And yet what comes at you is persecution. And I mean, like persecution and beating and persecution and whipping and, you know, left for dead, this kind of thing, imprisoned. And yet each place, slander, yes. And each place he went, he got bolder. And I think that's part of what he was saying is don't doubt my persecution because it's for your glory. It's for the place for you to come in. Just kind of like his own his own encounter. I think many times.
Or it could be for your benefit.
Well, it is, for it your glory or your benefit.
He's laying the foundation for them.
I mean, he realized it was the most glorious thing that he could have possibly had was that moment on the Damascus Road.
Yeah. You know, it starts out, my version, this is the New Living, I think, version. It says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace. Now, a servant of this gospel. So I think we have to ask ourselves, do we feel like a servant of the gospel? Do you? Do you feel like a servant of the gospel? And how does that affect your behavior?
Yeah, you realize that your behavior, your character is an influence to all that are watching. You're either a good witness, you're a witness, a good one or a bad one. And for me, like just in my situation, like I do feel even being involved in a ministry that deals with sex addiction, it's has to be a calling. It's very, there are a lot of sacrifices. There is slander. It's not like a highly, it's not like people are fighting for this role that we have. We were talking to
It's true, though.
Mom, when I grew up, I
wanted
to deal with sexual addiction.
Sexual addiction.
It's like the unreached people group. I tell my husband that no one wants to do.
Right.
And so we were even talking to two pastors yesterday, sharing about our ministry. And it's very hard. Like sometimes I get, it's hard working through alongside, even preparing. And it is a sacrifice, but I know God's called me to do it. And so I take joy in that I'm in the center of God's will, helping restore marriages, families, individuals, you know, just severing generational curses and setting them on a new path. But it is hard.
Well, let me ask you, as a servant, is there ever a minute of any day that you're not aware of God?
I try to always be aware of him, having that daily conversation, but I'm sure there is because I'm human.
I'm with him.
I mean,
I don't like some of my actions, even though I know he's always there.
No, I mean, like, even if I get mad at somebody in the car.
Right.
Right.
I'm very aware.
He's there.
I'm very aware if I'm... Yes. Not being right or whatever. No, it's not even about being aware of him because you might get in trouble. It's just I never have to stop and think, oh, wait, I'm a follower of Christ. Oh, wait, where is God? I don't know. It says he lives inside of us. I just, it's 24/7.
Right. And I think a big thing that we really do need to get off of us is that concept of depending on how I feel or my behavior being good or bad, God's looking at me, oh, I'm pleased with you today. Oh, I'm not pleased with you today. It's not. It's never been based on what you and I would do, even after we gave our life to
him. Do you
think
he does like we do when our kids, when we're with our kids and they're not being so nice and we go, oy vey, I'm.
I don't think he does. Because deep down in each one of us, there is nothing but love for that child.
Oh, yeah,
or your frustration or your fear for them is only you don't want them to go through what you had to go through.
You just want them to be the best that they
can be. That they can be.
And to walk in their destiny and have all that was meant for them.
But
I don't think there's ever a minute you're not aware of God, Cindy. I know you. You're eat up with it. You never. That's all you talk about is the Lord and stuff like I never hear her talk about anything else.
It's true. I don't like hanging out with people who aren't talking about the Lord. Or if you know, they want to go shop and talk about purses, I'm like, let's talk about the gospel and loving
people. Well, I mean, we were talking beforehand, and I was telling him they always have people calling them, and they have, you know, emails from friends. I'm like, I don't even have any friends.
Here's my little violin. I called you a couple times today, darling. Are we going to get to a delusional verse here?
But in that, what I would come to is I'm not good at small talk. Mm. But I love to go deep. I mean, it's if you're going to get me on Jesus, I can talk forever and go so far down the rabbit hole that people are going, oh my God, where has she gone?
Think that's what we all have in common. We're not really small talkers or whatever. I mean, I know that's just, but you know what? I was younger, I wasn't this way, and I could backslide.
Yeah.
You get to a certain point, you just can't live without him. And backsliding is not an issue. I mean, being ugly in the car with other motorists might be an issue sometimes or whatever, but, you know, or losing your temper with your spouse or whatever, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I just think it's a great reminder to just remember that your feelings are not the basis for whether God is happy or upset with you.
And I heard something the other day, somebody, I don't know who it was talking, but when you look through the Bible, they said most of the miracles that you see in the Bible took place in the desert. They didn't take place in a church service.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Get out of those walls.
Yeah.
He's taking us out of those walls. I love it.
Now, is there anything else that you all want to comment about those verses 7 to 13?
I think one of my favorite is the fact that he's talking again about the unfathomable riches of God. Something unfathomable goes back to when we did our Psalms 139. It's incomprehensible.
It is.
And what he was saying is, I think that's more of what you're saying is, as we walk with him and we continue to not let it be this black and white, when I'm good, he loves me, when I'm bad, he doesn't, knowing he loves me. He's always after the best for me.
Right.
What begins to happen is you begin to get the riches of who he is. Mm-hmm. And when you embrace those riches, however they come, because they come to each one of us in a different way, it's like, you're so much more in love with him that it causes you to want to go deeper.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, even in the hard things, Cindy, wouldn't you think like your marriage and it was his infidelity. It was his thing that brought you into this ministry that we laughed about while ago, but it was a piece of what God had always purposed. And now you're finding, are you not finding these wonderful riches of who he is in these things that you're doing?
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's been, I've had to like learn greater things about myself to get me to a healthier place too, that maybe I never would have gone to if this hadn't have been uncovered. And so, and then just finding it a privilege to be able to go into these, I've always had a passion for the unreached or the overlooked and the sideline. And just as both of y'all, I'm hearing y'all's voices, that's for y'all too. And this is definitely a group of people that are often, people are afraid or they don't know how to approach them and minister to those that are trapped in sexual sin and sexual addiction. And how do you help their wives? So, you know, when a wife finds out she's betrayed, and you know, who does she tell? No one's coming over with casseroles to comfort her.
No, it's
they're
so
just
true.
they're in isolation, suffering.
Wow. Yeah,
yeah, that's
well.
True.
You are reaching. There's not many people doing what you're doing, and it is needed.
Thank you.
You're helping people in probably the worst time of their life.
Yeah.
So
that's tough. Yeah, I loved verse 12 talks about. And I guess it talks about freedom. In Christ, we can come before God with freedom and without fear.
Boom. Yeah.
We can do this through faith in Christ.
That
was
something
like
the church
my
needs
verse
to get a hold of.
In that chapter was that's, like,
woo. Yeah, that is what we're saying. Mine says boldness. You know, coming that it has nothing to do with those feelings.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The church, I mean, the church meaning Christians. We as Christians, we really need to get a hold of that. That he's not wagging his finger at us and getting all upset. I mean, he already knows. Yeah. He knows, but I do believe that he looks at us for who he created it to be, and he sees the potential.
Well, and I think, too, like you and I've said, I mean, on that addiction part, we've both had those places of molestation. Mm-hmm. as being young children and what that can do to you. I mean, you had a father. I didn't even. Didn't either have a father?
No, I did have a father. Yeah, I was just going to say, no, it wasn't my father.
I didn't mean it. Okay. I just was saying that I was also fatherless, oh, yes. which opened the way for that, which on the hills was more perversion. But in that, what I began to realize was what God does is he looks at the whole picture.
Right.
And he knows what we've been through to where we are. And so many times we discount even ourselves and others because, like we're saying, you're looking at the ones that have been so abused and the ones that have been tossed to the side. And there's something about that that I think it's always helped me to understand that God sees the big picture of each person. Right. And he knows what you suffered. And the fact that you maybe didn't cuss somebody out in the car that day, he was like, I'm so proud of you for not reacting that way. Mm-hmm. And we don't look at him as the cheerleader that's going, I know what you could have done right there.
Well, that's a really good point.
And yet you chose not to.
Patting you on the back. Yeah.
Yes. And we
that sounds kind of like a grandpa.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really good point.
But I think
we just look at him as the one getting us in trouble.
Because you
instead
even
of the great
said it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we cut ourselves. We still have that language of it's based on, and it's never been based on.
It's true. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, I'm anxious to get to this next part, which is one of the beautiful prayers in scripture. Mm-hmm. This is verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Right, this is a passage you'd want to memorize, right?
Isn't it the
truth? It is.
Wow, the love of Christ is incomparable. It's boundless.
And this is just keep in mind, the man feeling this immeasurable love of Christ is the man who was killing Christians.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate picture of transformation right here. And this is what Jesus Christ can do for you, for me, for your loved ones, there's nothing that's too hard for him, nothing beyond his reach. So no matter what you've done, no matter how many sins you've done that you think are unforgivable, I just don't see how any of us could have done more than Paul. He murdered people and he chased after people to murder them just because they believed Jesus was the Christ. And look how God forgave him and then lavished his love on him. Wasn't it earlier in Ephesians it talked about lavishing his love and cascading love? And all of that, he doused Paul. Well, he just doused Paul in that unbelievable, immeasurable love after Paul was pretty much Christian's number one enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so blown away that he has the privilege of being an ambassador for God. Yeah, and
it's profound.
It is. It's just,
it's the with all done all kind of moment. And you know, I think again with what we were just saying about the love that he has for us, I mean, he's giving us four dimensions. I mean, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. You can't run from this love. And, you know, most of the translations put and be rooted and grounded in love, but mine has it by love. That we are rooted and grounded by that love that is exactly what you're saying. The one that would seem the most wretched is the one that he rooted me in love. Yeah. He's just saying, by love, I was captured. And when I got captured by it, nothing could take it away from him.
You know, in the scripture, where is that verse when it says he forgives us our sins and forgets them as far as the east is from the west? Farmer Fred told me something yesterday. You know, there's a saying that if you go around the globe, if you're going east all the way around the globe, you're never going west.
Can't ever.
And if you're going west, you're never going, you can go all the way around the world going west and you're never going east, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you go north and then you drop south, you're going to come north again. See? He goes north, south. That's why he doesn't say he'll forgive your sins as far as the north is from the south. Right. It's east to west because you're never going west if you're going east and vice versa. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. And the verse, Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. And love can just break down the barrier or resistance to people who are resistant to God. And when we first moved to Katy, there was a man in old Katy, we lived in the smaller city part, that rode around his bicycle, and he was known. He had been in a terrible car wreck and had been injured, and so he had a brain injury. And so he had some mental problems, and he slobbered a lot, so he often didn't take proper showers. So I became his friend and invited him to our house, and he was angry at God because he had had a terrible car wreck, and that's what had caused him to become mentally
disabled.
Yeah, he was disabled, and so he felt very angry at God for many reasons. And I said, "It's so funny that you're, you know, my friend. I'm a Jesus freak. I love him so much." And he just would always say, you know, one of his phrases was that God doesn't love him, and God's, he always wanted to rebuke that God was doing anything. But after years and years, we'd let him, he just came to our house. I'd send him in the Lazy Boy. He'd get ice from our ice machine. He just became a part of our family, came and go as he wanted. And after like 5 years of that, of loving him and letting him just be a part of our family with no agenda, one morning he came, when I was having my quiet time, he came early, he sat down with me. I'm like, "You want to join me? I'm reading the Bible." He said, "Sure." And after reading, I said, "Are you ready to accept Jesus?" He said, "I am."
Cindy.
And it was so beautiful. And so he did. And then I fixed him this amazing breakfast. But it was through the love of Christ.
I love.
That transformed his life.
Remember we talked last week, the greatest thing is to love God. The second is to love others. And I think I said that last week. If you're not sure what you're supposed to do, it's love. L-O-V-E, love, love, love. Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that analogy.
Isn't that a great story?
That is.
It is an amazing story, yeah.
I think each of us has that story.
Yeah, of different people you've loved well into the kingdom.
And isn't it so interesting that we, so many times, and I think that's even with what we're talking about in that sense of, you know, the finger or the feelings, we blame God for the situations that come our way when he's the one that's right there going, "Man, you know, I can help you overcome from what was there," instead of
course, we never want to look at what decisions have we made that got us in whatever situation is in.
And yet he still, that isn't. And I, you know, think about when you said it a while ago, you read about that there's no way to even know Christ. And I think about that so many times. That's why God says for those that overcome and accept his kingdom and come into his kingdom, we'll spend all of eternity. All of eternity, because there's so much to, there's no way we'll ever run out of learning about who God is.
I know it's kind of hard to comprehend, isn't it?
Unfathomable.
And you think, wait, eternity, that's like thousands and thousands. I mean, you know, you ever, sometimes you think, wow, so I can see how at a certain age you get a little bored of living down here, right? You're like, wow, would we ever get bored in heaven? No.
Never.
You know, I've had encounters with Christ before where I've just felt so covered in his love that I've actually said to him, "Can I just stay here? I just, man." So I, you know, when people have those near-death experiences and they talk about not wanting to come back, I get it.
I mean,
so I think that's just a taste of how forever is going to be glorious every day.
It's what you live for. When times are hard, I do think of the eternal rewards. It does motivate me to think of being forever and ever with the Lord Jesus and with the family of God, and then and that our choices, because in the last podcast we did, you talked about that's what God said to you. You have one life to live. What do you right. want to do? And so we it's have one life to live, and how are we going to live it? And there's, you know, there's, I've heard, I say to my kids sometime, don't waste your life, or don't even waste your time. You're wasting your time on things like, you know, our minutes, our days are being counted for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true. And, boy, you know, some of what you're saying, some of mine, when I'm in a really hard spot, sometimes I can see myself, I just sit there and go, I cannot wait for you to hold me. Like, and I know that you won't let go, yeah. you know, or if I can just touch your face, I can't wait someday. It's kind of like what Paul later, probably in here, where we'll see that place of, you know, being with you is greater, because I'd rather be up there. Yeah. And some of those times, like you're saying, mm-hmm. it's just like the weight of things sometimes yeah. can get us, but those are the things that pull yeah. me out.
So, you know, I want to urge you that if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, praise God. If you're like, I'm not sure what you're talking about, I want to say this to you. We all three want to encourage you to press in to intimacy with God, because you can get so close to Him that you know, that you know, that you know He is as real as the skin on your body. Yeah. He is real, and you will spend eternity with Him. Mm-hmm. He is closer than your breath. And to know that, to know Him in an intimate way, is worth whatever it takes for you to get that with Him. It's, am I right, ladies? Yes. It's worth it's whatever it takes of your time and your effort. You know, salvation is free, but after that, it's not. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It costs you commitment. It costs you time. And it costs you really wanting to get to you. You and I didn't get to be friends, and none of us here got right. to be friends by just seeing each other every once in a while. We had to develop that friendship, and you have to develop mm-hmm. your friendship mm-hmm. with the Holy One. You do.
And I, you know, it's what Cindy just used that verse again, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. It is something that surpasses what we can see or feel on this earth. Yes. And I think that's why it, each one of us at different times, it wells up in you, because this is something that is so beyond verbalizing in many ways. You know, you can't express the experiences or the way the word comes alive to yes. you, or a whisper in your ear, or like, it's not, you know, a dream that you have, or if you're a visionary, those things, mm-hmm. no one could ever take those away from you. And it, I think it's just like you build upon those times. And many times I think it happens the greatest is when we're in our greatest places of suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
It has for me, you know.
And so you want to make a final comment?
I just love that verse 20 that's towards the end of this chapter. And I'm on the prayer team at my church, and when people come for prayer, this verse always resonates great towards the end, after I've just prayed over them, that with God's working power in you, and you, that there is so much more than anything you could ever ask or imagine. Amen.
Well, Lord, we do pray. We pray for everyone listening, Father, and even for ourselves. We pray that we will have a greater understanding how far and wide and deep is the love of Christ for us. Father, we thank you for new revelation of you and who you are. I thank you, Lord. Your word says, draw to you and you will draw nigh unto us. So, Father, we are drawing unto you, and we ask you, Father, just put your arms around us and pull us into your bosom and whisper to us, Lord, and teach us about you. And increase our ability to hold you, increase our ability to love you. We thank you so much for joining us each week on the Living Scripture. We do look forward to seeing you next week. And I just want to remind you to check out our site, heartstonenetwork.com. We have lots of great content on there to encourage and inspire you. We have a series that Darla teaches on there on understanding your redemptive gifts. Yes. And Cindy's story is on there about what she had to go through discovering her husband's sexual addiction. And there's even content on there with your husband, Todd, mm-hmm. talking to men about how to overcome what he had to overcome. Mm-hmm. And, of course, check out Fred's podcast, Garden for Life. So we love you, and we will look forward to seeing you next time. God bless.
Far-flung Tin Can, we are bridging the gap between two diverse worlds, the Christian home and the mission field, through missions awareness, missions engagement, and worship in everything. We're traveling the world to the most remote places on the planet to find those who have laid down everything to say yes to God. And whoever said missions can't be fun, God is calling. Will you take the call?
Can stop me now. How did you? observe your goodness drowning in many. The weight of your presence lost in the sea of your glory. All I know is you'll always be for me. Diving into the depths of your goodness drowning in many. The weight of your presence lost in the sea of your glory. All I know is you'll always be for me. Diving into the depths of your goodness drowning in many. The weight of your presence lost in the sea of your glory. All I know is you'll always be for me.
Of the world, and I found that you are there with me. And I've laid on the ocean floor, somehow you lay right next to me. And I walk through the fire, I find you take each step for step with me. And I rest under jungle stars, you keep your watchful eye on me. I won't worry anymore. I won't worry anymore. I know you go with me. I won't worry anymore. I won't worry anymore. And I know floor, somehow you lay right next to me. And I walk through the fire, I find you take each step for step with me. And I rest under jungle stars, you keep your watchful eye on me. I won't worry. Truth, it's shining down on me.
Lost in thoughts, concerned with tomorrow's story. The fight I dread that lies ahead, the battles that lay before me. See, I can no longer ignore the disappointments because there's a point when I feel like I'm no longer fit for God's appointment or His anointment. But just before I begin to feel pointless, just before I begin to feel subpar and that I'm not good enough, that I should give up even before I get a good start. Even before I feel weighed down, drowning in the waves that surround me and push me way down, that's when I remember how faithful the Father is and how He's never left me fatherless. He's been with me through the wilderness. See, I remember that the same God that speaks to the storm to calm the sea is the same God that talks to me as I bury my heart so deep in His word to discover the deepest of loves. A love so deep that it tells me that I don't need to doubt. A love that tells me not to fret. A love that casts out all fear. A love that tells me there's no need to stress. Love that reminds me that I don't need to worry anymore. I refuse to worry anymore.
Say, who told you you should be afraid? All hope is never lost. There is no river I won't cross. I'll go to the end of the line. I'll find a way to make you mine. I'll go to the end of the line. I'll find a way to make you mine. You can put your hand in mine.